Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 5 of The Positivity Effect, and I am your host, Dr. Tom. It's so exciting that this is already the second week of The Positivity Effect. We have a great show lined up for you today, but before we dive into the call, if you love what you're hearing, please check out positivityeffect.com. You can catch all the episodes and read the show notes, as well as subscribe to my newsletter. And please write to me, share a story of something that you're grateful for in your life, because I'm going to pick one listener's inspiring story every week to share on the Sunday Fireside Chat. So write to me. Let me know what you think about the show, and I just love to hear from you guys and get to know you. In addition to finding the show at our website, if you like, you can subscribe to the show at iTunes. Just search Positivity Effect, hit the subscribe button, and you'll never miss a positive message. So I'm super excited about this week's show. We have on Bryce Prescott. He runs a website called rulesofsuccess.com that started out as a podcast. He also has a personal coaching program called Apply the Science, and you can check it out at applythescience.com. So during this chat, Bryce takes us through how he helps people balance their lives through 4 key areas of life: health, relationships, finances, and being. Bryce takes us on his own journey into the real estate world and how he built up this empire and how it collapsed on him. And I want you to really focus in on how he raised his awareness through things like meditation to double down on his health, his relationships, and his being when he found his finances in turmoil and how he really turned his life around. I think one of the most important topics that Bryce touches on in this interview is his relationship with his wife. So really pay close attention to how that relationship really is the center of his life. You know, it's really powerful when he's talking, and I really think it resonates through in this interview. So it's time. Let's dive into another episode of The Positivity Effect. Bryce, what's going on, man?
Living the dream, my man. Appreciate you having me on the show. This is fun.
The dream. Yeah, it's, you know, it's we can, I used to have a beard. It's gone now. And I think you have like an epic, it's so clean, it's sharp.
Yeah, the listeners can't see that though, man. We're doing this on Skype at the same time, so we've got an extra connection here. But thank you, I appreciate that. I have my hat on, and you can't see that the dome up top, the epic beard replaces what would be up top. So,
but come on, there's a lot in that dome.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, some of it's good, some not, but whatever. It's all there.
That's awesome. So super excited to have you here. You know, for those that are listening and they don't know what rules of success are, I would love for you to just talk a little bit about it. Before you talk about it, just take us on a little journey, man, of you and how you got to that point.
Okay. One summer day in July of 1975, a young man was born in the woods of Jacksonville, Florida. I wasn't born in the woods. Like you said, rulesofsuccess.com, rules of success. I have a podcast, and it's kind of spun off all of these other activities and opportunities that have been great. But I've started to kind of settle into this truth that is that I've got for some reason I've got a way of kind of helping people to balance their lives in a way that they haven't been able to. And my podcast Rules of Success focuses on 4 different key areas of your life. Those areas are your health and fitness would be one. So your body, basically. Your personal relationships and how authentic and transparent and honest and everything that you are in those, and how effective do those bring drama? Do they bring support? How to handle those? Your being would be your third, and that's you know, creative expression, the relationship you have with yourself, spiritual pursuits, getting in touch with this friendly place we call the universe, whether you want to call it that, you want to call it God, Heavenly Father, whatever name you attach to that, that you know, there's something bigger than all of us that is important to get in touch with. And then fourth, you really can't do any of those things if you're broke. So business pursuits and strategies that are effective and that can help people to make money. So those 4 areas: your body, your business, your being, and your relationships. And I started my podcast about a year ago, actually, Tom. And it's been this interesting journey, kind of going through the process of growing an audience and learning what my skills really are, and you know, having ideas that I thought were real and then having them be kind of debunked and then growing other, you know, beliefs into something that are more powerful. And then after a certain point, realizing that I can't keep this to myself anymore. I've got to share it with others.
What was that moment where you realized, you know, I have this affinity to really help people get to the next level in their finances, in their spirituality and love, all those things?
Well, it's something that has kind of always been there, truthfully. I mean, there hasn't been one single defining moment that made the difference. But I can honestly say that there's been different benchmarks that I've reached, either deliberately or just that kind of just showed up based off of my commitments at the time, that have allowed me to realize that my awareness changed, where I realized that I was more responsible to help others than I thought I was before. You know, several years ago, back in 2008, I started a real estate company with a friend of mine. And to be quite honest, I didn't think I was going to start it. He came to me several months before this one event and said, "Hey, look, I've got this opportunity. The mortgage market was crashing. Real estate prices were really spiking. There was a lot of upheaval in that market." And he came to me and said, "Look, we can buy houses for 5 to 10 cents on the dollar. And then we can, you know, have this whole process of using them to turn them into cash flow." And I didn't believe him. I was like, "There's no way." I was a mortgage broker at the time, and in that world, and it just didn't seem real that was a possibility.
Why was that you didn't feel like it was a possibility?
Because it was just outside of my comfort zone. It seemed too good to be true. And I had believed this belief before that when something seems to be too good to be true, it is too good to be true. Well, yeah. In that, there, you know, fast forward 3 months, and I'd been exposed to this incredible book called Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. And I ended up being at an event of his where called the Millionaire Mind Intensive, where they basically, the way that I would describe it is, they unscrew the top of your head and they help you rewire your beliefs about money, about success, about achievement, all these different things, and pull out the non-supportive beliefs and replace them with ones that, you know, invite success, invite, you know, wealth and achievement and growth and expansion, all those wonderful things that come with that. Well, a week later, I was so enthused about that event that a week later, I went to another one in Los Angeles, California, and I was sitting in, and that one was called Never Work Again. It was 4 days of being presented opportunities for passive income. So basically, things that took supposedly limited management, whether you could buy into it or you could build it. So everybody talks about in all these different industries the how great it is to achieve passive income and to have recurring cash flow coming back to you and to have these systems that pay you that, you know, you just kind of have to manage. Well, one of the people that were presenting at that event were these guys from Utah, which is where I'm from. I live in Salt Lake City. And they were pitching to me the exact same model that I just heard from this friend of mine 3 months ago. And their entry point was anywhere between $5,000 and $30,000 for these people to be a part of what they were doing. And I was in a room of about 3,000 people. They were tripping over themselves to give these guys money. The idea of being able to leverage real estate at such a low loan-to-value ratio and turn it into a cash flow is really, really appealing. And I had this light go off. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, like this is real. Like, you can't get in front of a room like this and tell people you can get homes this cheap if you can't." So I leave that meeting. I go talk to my friend. I call him. I'm standing on the standing in the corner from this Hilton hotel that's about, you know, 6 blocks from Disneyland in Anaheim. And I'm like, "Dude, these guys are idiots. We could do this 10 times better. I'm sorry I didn't believe what you were saying." Came home to Salt Lake and we started everything. And several months later, we closed our first bulk transaction deal where we had sold multiple homes at a time. Within a 2 month period of time, I made $250,000 bucks. And for the next 3 years, our ride was even better than that. And started this whole process. But I realized in that process, it was the first time I'd made, you know, real money where I was legitimately a millionaire and I had assets to back it up. And there was no, you know, arguing that I had achieved a certain pinnacle of success. But I was noticing that I was out of shape. My relationships were suffering. I was having all these problems with my ex-wife. I'd been through a divorce. There was just all this upheaval, even though I had money. And it was I had thought for so long in my life that money was going to fill in the hole, and it didn't. Now, does that mean that I'm one of those guys that says, you know, I'm minimalist and we don't need money? Absolutely not. Like, there still is this need to expand, and that finances is a part of that. Like, we need to, you know, earn and to achieve and to grow so that we have access to the things that are going to help us have time, and money can help you have time, but you've got to choose it to be that way. If not, you'll find that all these other things will seep into your life. So,
and saying that, like, how do you think that process? Cause like you said, most of these things aren't like and it happens. Yeah. How did that, where in that process of your journey of, you know, growing this, you know, this empire of the real estate, and where you felt all of a sudden, whoa, like I'm not paying attention to these other things, you know, these other also more important things in my life.
Your segue is brilliant, my man. This is what happened. So 2011 rolls around and the laws were changing with banks. We weren't able to get the houses as cheap as we wanted to because banks weren't required to sell them the way they were. We were really ineffective in how we reinvested our money back into our company. And we found ourselves actually, if you can believe it, in debt as a company. And we didn't know what to do. So we basically shut the doors. And to make a long story short, a year later, I find out that half of my manhood is cancerous. And I have to do an emergency surgery to have one of my boys removed because it was just a big ball of cancer. And then I go in a couple weeks later for an MRI and they tell me I've got all this inflamed lymph nodes and all sorts of junk happening in my body. And I'm realizing that was the first time in my life where my finances were in upheaval. Like I was struggling from the problems that can come when you mismanage big money. But I didn't have big money anymore. I'd lost it all. I've been stupid about it. Not lost it all, but lost most of it. And my health was now, it was the first time in my life where I was looking at it like my life actually has a clock on it. Like this, it's going to end someday. And this was right on the time where my wife and I were having some really difficult challenges in our relationship as well, just trying to find connection. And so I'm out of shape. I'm drinking too much at the time. My relationships are crap. My finances are up in upheaval. And I just, something just clicked for me where I'm like, this can't be. And so I had to force the issue and find out what I really believed and what I didn't believe, and had to be honest with myself about that. And it led me back to something that I had experienced before, you know, in that stretch before we started our real estate company and during the beginning part, where I realized this combination. You know, one of my favorite books of all time is called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. It's an old book. It was a precursor to Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And it's one of those first kind of law of attraction type books where it talks about your thoughts being things, that what you think about has a creative force in the universe. And, you know, in 2005 or six, maybe it was 2007, you know, The Secret comes out and there's this whole kind of thing it's an extremely popular book and Rhonda Byrne goes on Oprah. And like now there's all this talk about the law of attraction, blah, blah. Well, it starts to pitter out about 2010 when people realize, well, wait, I thought I just had to sit around and think about this stuff and it was going to show up in my lap. It doesn't work that way. This is a bunch of garbage. Well, so I was starting to see that, you know, when I analyzed what was happening in 2012 with my life, that I had actually used the principles of that book, The Science of Getting Rich, to achieve what I did in my real estate company. And almost without fail, the moment that I noticed that I let go of those principles is when everything started to go, like it was, everything collapsed. And so I realized, I've been neglecting all of the important things in my body. I have nobody in my relationships, in my finances. I have nobody else to blame but myself. So how about we change it? And it was this slow burn of like just slowly introducing supportive habits back into my life and getting things on point with my relationships, getting things on point with my body. Fast forward 3 years, I'm healthier than I've ever been in my entire life. My wife and I have one of the most passionate, sensual relationships I could have ever dreamed of with a woman. Things are great with my kids and with the podcast being a catalyst, you know, there's my finances are changing in a way to where it's 100% based off of desire to help instead of chasing money. And I couldn't be more happy.
And that's so great. And like having a positive outlook, a positive mindset, you know, I think some people get confused when we say positive outlook or positive mindset, that it's like we're just going to sit and we're going to smile and be so happy when bad things are happening to us. And it's really not the case, right? It's like, through all those things, generally you're a positive person and you by having that mindset, you had the awareness to work through and say, this, I'm here, but I want to get to here.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, Tom, it was, one of the things that made the biggest difference for me was, meditation, honestly, because I would notice, I mean, our minds are these crazy little devils, you know, that voice that we hear in our head. I had this exercise, used on me one time, and it kind of blew me away. And the guy said to me, he's like, okay, so what I want you to say is, he's like, I want you to, in your mind, I want you to say the words, I am Bryce Prescott. And I go, okay. So I was like, this is stupid. But so in my mind, I said the words, I am Bryce Prescott, right? So he goes, do you realize what that means by you doing that? And I'm like, yeah, I just told myself that I am Bryce Prescott. He's like, no, you did. You manipulated that voice in your head to tell it what you wanted to tell it, which means that you control that voice, and that voice actually isn't you. It's a mechanism of you. And you've let it run rampant for so long that it tells you a lot of crap that you actually don't believe, but you've empowered it to tell you negative things, to reinforce negative habits and beliefs, and to give excuses and justification, and even to be okay with lying to yourself. You've trained that voice to be okay with that. You control it. Train it different. And the only way that I found the most effective, not the only way, but the most effective way that I found to retrain that voice is through meditation, because you're able to relax and get to a place that's deeper than where that voice resides. And you're able to not only, hearing is nothing, it's the feelingness that makes change. And so I was able to feel on a real personal and even spiritual level my inherent goodness, the contribution that I had to make to this world, the way that my talents and skill sets, something I've had my entire life, that they could actually help uplift somebody that I don't know right now in a way that could change their life. Like, all these different realizations started to come in. And then, you know, the voice would crack up and be like, that's a bunch of garbage. And I'd be like, you know what? I know who you are now. So how about you just shut the hell up, and I'm going to do this. And it's over time. Yeah. I was like, talk to the hand.
Take it easy. Whoa.
Yeah.
Step back.
And it slowly evolved through time to where, you know, not to say that I'm this, you know, wizard or anything with that, but like, it's, I understand the game better now when it comes to how to extract the energy needed for commitment, for me to commit to something, and as well how to understand what's real and what's not real. You know, it's an absolute truth that this universe is a friendly place. And that there's a lot of great people that are full of love and excitement and compassion that are willing to collaborate with any one of us at any given time. When we start to focus on the squeaky wheels and the different things we see in the news and the things that aren't supportive, that's when we really lose sight of what's actually true about humanity and that it's inherently good. So how about we stop worrying about other garbage? Like, one of the things that is such a poignant part of that book that I referenced, The Science of Getting Rich, which, by the way, I give away a free copy of that book at my website, rulesofsuccess.com. I've actually gone in and awesome. I've added commentary to the old book and updated it. And I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I've got some really great feedback that it's made the book applicable to 2015 in a way that it wasn't before. Anyway, the
well, I was going to say that really quick, guys, that's awesome. Like, if you're listening, hit the pause button. Go over to rulesofsuccess.com. He's giving you an amazing free resource. You would, I'm sorry, be stupid to not take it. So thank you. Thank you for that, Bryce.
You bet, man. One of the, they're not stupid. They're just under.
I would be stupid. I'm going to hit pause. I'm hitting pause right now. I'm running away. Hold, that's it. I'm walking away. Boom, download.
And we're back. Okay.
And
so the one thing that, to kind of finish this thought, that is a really cool part of that book is it talks about how, well, first of all, he frames wealth and riches. He uses the guise of money to kind of, you know, get people to think about what their lives could be. But he's really descript about, it's not just money. You know, it's about contribution. It's about health. It's about wellness. It's, you know, riches and wealth is, it includes money for sure, because you can't do things if you don't have access to money. But it's all those other things too. And one of the parts that is really one of my favorite parts of the book, he talks about how you're never going to solve a problem by focusing on its opposite. So for example, you're never going to get people to be healthy by focusing on disease. The way that you get people to be healthy is to have them focus on health. So the way that you get people out of poverty is not to have rich people focus on how bad the poverty is. It's to get people in poverty to realize that they can have more and that they can be more, that there's an infinite resources available to them. And, you know, he takes it a step further and talks about, you know, the relationships that we have individually with each other, that competition actually kills growth, that there is enough that we can collaborate even with people that from the outside might look like our competitors, that there's ways to collaborate and to grow something that would be 10 times what we could have imagined and make 100 times the impact just by our mindset of expansion and growth and collaboration and focus.
And, you know, I know I can, and I'm sure many people listening can relate to your story of having, you know, some kind of success in your life and then other things are not in place. You know, what, why do you, you know, from now through the platform that you have, and you're helping so many people in different areas of their life, like what are these overarching themes of why they are stuck? You know, why aren't they thinking with an open mind and looking to progress themselves, you know?
Well, that's a really great question. The answer is kind of individual to the person, but kind of an overarching theme would be that they just are they feel stuck because their experience of life differs from what they are being told about life. So they'll have moments of expansion and growth and love and compassion, but then they're constantly reinforced even by the voice in their head that it's not a friendly place and that people are out to get you and, you know, this whole kind of negative approach and vibe towards life and people. And they can't reconcile that. It's a challenge to reconcile that, or they're just unwilling, I guess. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm going to give him a shout. I'm interviewing him for the second time on my podcast this week. Recently, I had a guy by the name of Alex Sharfin come on my show, and he has this, he calls it the entrepreneurial personality type. He talks about the different characteristics of entrepreneurs and how we're a different breed. Like we're just a little off, and we've known we're off for a long time, and it's great. It's perfect. But a part of understanding that is he has this formula called the contribution equation, where he talks about how as entrepreneurs, if we're really going to be able to contribute to our lives, to contribute to the lives of others and have that feeling inside of us be exercised, it takes a couple of things. And the first thing is he talks about is to remove noise from your life. So remove stress, put yourself in environments where you can be isolated for focused periods of time, have that white noise be away. The second one is to ask for support. And let's see, how did he word it? That's basically the gist of it. Ask for support. So that's something that I found that people have a challenge with is asking others for support, asking for, you know, help. And
do you think that's like because of the fear of not being transparent of what they're struggling with?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really difficult for, and I recognize this myself. I've had to learn how to be more and more transparent, even on a daily basis where, you know, there's this inherent idea of embarrassment if we're not squeaky clean and super shiny, you know? And the fact of the matter is that nobody is. There's not a single, and if they are, I'm kind of questioning. They don't seem real, man. Like
they are a robot. Yeah. They are not
real. Well, they're completely unattached from themselves. Like they're not connected. Yeah. And who wants that? I mean, not to say that, I guess where I'm going is that people need, first of all, to know that they're not alone. And then they need to be put in positions where they can make and keep commitments to themselves. And if they're able to do those two things, if they can understand that they're not alone and then be put in positions to make and keep commitments, they will find that their lives will change. And the easiest way for people to be put in a position to make and keep commitments is to, you know, hire a coach or have a mentor or a mastermind or some way to have their accountability be outside of just their own head. And it makes a huge difference. I can't stress that enough.
Who's someone in your life, Bryce, that just helped you get to that point, you know, really helped open and expand your mind and kind of hold you accountable?
Well, there's been a couple of them, and I'll give the kind of the short answer. First of all, about a couple months ago, I hired a coach. His name's David Anderson, and he's more of kind of a sales guy. And he's really helped me in the most recent kind of efforts that I've made to take this desire to help people and to turn it legitimately into, you know, a business and to start offering consulting. And to, I created a program that takes the tenets of the science of getting rich and walks people through them. It's called Apply the Science. You can check it out at applythescience.com. And that, you know, most recently he's been one that's helping it. And it's not like he's been this overarching personality that's like, you know, this Tony Robbins type influence, but he's been somebody that's there that helps me see things in a way that I don't see them, you know, keeps me accountable on a weekly basis. We have penalties in place if I don't do what I need to. And so it just, it's a different level. And ironically, it wasn't until I hired that guy and actually I'd paid coaches before, but it wasn't in that such an intimate setting where I had paid an individual to work directly with me on a one-on-one basis. The money that I'd paid mentors before, like for example, you know, I talked about the book, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. T. Harv Eker and his company, I don't know if he still owns them, but Peak Potentials is a seminar company, and they have all these great, like, big events. And each one of those events is peppered with mentors and teachers. And I got so much great stuff out of that. You know, the podcasting world nowadays, free content galore to have you kind of help learn to. But there comes a point where you can't keep devouring stuff for the sake of knowledge. You've got to be in a situation where you've got to test it and you've got to put it into action. And, you know, mentorship and everything is the best way to do that. So just to, I guess, to isolate and answer that question, the most recent one was, you know, I hired my own coach, David Anderson, recently. And it wasn't until here's the irony of that. It wasn't until I did that and paid him that something shifted in my mind where I was able and willing to accept payment to help somebody else. It's kind of this weird circle. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but.
Oh, it's so powerful. Yeah. Because, and also it's like, You're voting with your dollars. You're taking your money and investing back into yourself. I follow Ty Lopez.
He's awesome.
And one of the things he talks about all the time is how most of us, and myself included, we invest in things that are R&D, rust, rot, and depreciate.
Yeah.
Whereas if all of us were just doubling down on our minds, doubling down and investing in ourselves, the amount of growth that all of us would have, you know, is just, he always talks, he says, have a six pack brain. I love that. You got to have a six pack brain. You know, we all want six pack abs. We got to get a six pack brain first.
For sure. Well, here's something that I've noticed as well that gets, this is a problem that I experienced. I'll own this. This is something that was one of my blocks that I had to get over. I was so involved for so long in a training aspect. So, you know, during my real estate days, part of the time I would spend helping these new people that were investors and purchasers of real estate understand parts of their markets and things that I might have known a little bit more, or I had a leg up in the understanding and helping them. And even before that, I mean, I spent in my early 20s, I spent 2 years in Brazil teaching people about different things. And so I've always been naturally kind of an energetic, my energy's been that of a teacher. I'm okay in that space. I'm very comfortable. And so with that, though, as I studied that craft and I understood kind of how things worked, especially in a mentor mentee relationship. And so, you know, I did this event where, you know, they peeled back the curtain for how a lot of these, you know, guys on stage do it and the psychology of this. So I felt like I knew too much. So when somebody would pitch me about, you know, working with them and me paying them to be a mentor or a student or whatever, I could already see through the strategy of what they're doing. And it allowed me to, I would discount then the effect that would have when I would work with them, because I'm like, oh, I already know all that. Well, here's the crazy part is that, yeah, I can know it all I want, but I'm not implementing it. And when you pay for a coach or you get in that space, you're not paying for knowledge. You're paying for accountability and you're paying for community, like to be a part of something that allows you to spiral upward. Because if you're not growing, you're dying. I mean, that sounds cliche, but unless you're expanding, stagnation is death. I mean, you're not going anywhere and you're slowly atrophying in your six pack brain. So,
we're getting more of a keg.
Yes.
Keg
brain. Exactly. And it's not a good kind of keg. Right. The worst thing that somebody can think to themselves is that they've got it figured out. Like and that was me. That was me for a long time. And I blamed it on, I didn't have money. I wasn't going to do this or whatever. But the reality of it was, is that I was uncomfortable with knowing that if I, I didn't look at it like I was giving my money to something that was going to make me better. I looked at it like I was going to lose my money. And basically that was something that boils back on me. I mean, I'm now not believing in myself enough because then I would blame it on that I understood the behind the scenes enough that they can't teach me anything I don't know. And it's such a destructive idea. If any of you that are listening to this have opportunities for mentoring or coaching and you're having any of those thoughts come up, they're destructive and they're holding you back. Like your next level is on the other side of letting go of those thoughts. So just consider that for a moment.
I love that you said that because I think any of us have the ability to be a mentor or a coach, you know, on such a, it could be a macro level, it could be a micro sure. level, even when you yourself are struggling with something because you also don't know somebody in your life, what they're struggling with and how you can help them. And if you have the awareness of that, that you give yourself, you know, just give yourself the pat on the back that you can help somebody and that you can walk somebody through something, you're now going to see through a different lens. Hey, oh my gosh, so-and-so is struggling. I got to jump in there. I got to help them.
Yeah. It's a really cool thing to see this change happen in our culture. And when I say our culture, I'll say basically Western culture. You know, coaching and mentoring on high athletic levels is totally accepted. I mean, colleges pay millions of dollars a year for coaches. You know, the pro sports team, they invest highly in the organization to help these players get maximized or whatever. But yet then us normal people that, you know, run businesses and entrepreneurs, we have the audacity to think that we're better than that and we don't need somebody to help us stay on track or to guide us. If anything, just in helping us to see things in a different perspective, it's so arrogant and so destructive to think that way. Everywhere around, it's impossible to find a high-level achiever, regardless of industry, that isn't involved in some sort of coaching or mentoring experience where he's held accountable, he or she is held accountable through somebody else.
And always putting like any success that they have in their life, it's kind of like, it's yes, I'm doing it, but it's not because of me. It's because of the people that have sowed into my life that have figured that. And I love just even earlier on this interview, how you're right away quoting a book and talking about a mentor, somebody else you've done an interview with and using their knowledge. Cause it's like, you're not saying this is all my knowledge.
Yeah.
This is a collective thought, you know, and this is how I've gotten to be such a, you know, a high level thinker.
There comes a point when you devote enough time towards your own development, there becomes a point where 100% of the time you're just a plagiarist. You're just using other people's stuff. And it's great because it's all good stuff. And sometimes, you know, I won't personally name him here, but there's a guy that's really popular as a coach. He has a really impressive and powerful program. It's very expensive, and he's gotten a lot of people to be a part of it. And there's of the 10 things that he does, I freaking love 8 of them. And the 2 that he doesn't do, it just for some reason my personality, I can't get over kind of how that is. And I recognize, though, that that doesn't mean that the message of that isn't valuable for others that might not be susceptible to that voice. You know, there's so many different personalities that can make a difference for people. And so it's like truth is truth. And no matter the mouthpiece, it can make a difference. And so devour knowledge, learn it, and then get yourself in a position to where you are required through accountability to live it.
I love that. Truth is truth, no matter the mouthpiece. That is like, I'm going to quote you.
I love it.
It's good.
Thanks, man.
So gratitude, man. Let's talk about gratitude.
Okay.
Share with us, man. Talk about something that you're so grateful for in life. You know, really get deep into it. And so people listening, you know, because I think so many of us, we beat ourselves up and we don't recognize that there's so many things, like even just having the ability to listen to this show, whether you're in a car and you're driving and you have a car that has gasoline in it, you know, it's like there's so many little things that just by focusing on them, it will help lift up your life.
Sure.
So I'd love for you to, you know, to talk a little bit about that.
Well, this is a great opportunity and I appreciate you giving it to me to talk about gratitude and then some of the things to which I am grateful. And I'll revert back to talking about, to start anyway, that book again, The Science of Getting Rich, which I give away at my website. The first key, the first tenet of growing and expanding your life, including your finances, is recognizing that there is more than enough and that you have access to it. And by if those two truths can settle in to the mind, heart, and soul of a person, it's impossible to not feel your heart swell with thankfulness. That thankfulness then is now, dare I say it, lubrication for life becoming easier and blessings coming to you in ways that you hadn't thought of before. And for me, it's an unsung hero. It's out there a lot. Everybody, gratitude, you hear it all over the place. But to really understand gratitude is something that is, it's a lot more challenging than people think. You know, we can say, you know, as I listened to the question that you posed and the encouragement you gave me to talk about this, my commitment in this moment is to, you know, legitimately and energetically share something to which I truly am grateful and that it emanates from that, not to have there be this, you know, canned answer or something. Well, I'm grateful for, you know, to legitimately have that come through. And I think that, you know, for myself personally, that was a challenge in earlier years. Like I had things I thought I should be grateful for and I would express gratitude for those things, but energetically there wasn't a gratitude feeling behind it. It was just kind of like, eh, you know? And so, you know, one of the things that's helped me with that is isolating and separating those two things. Like if I'm not feeling gratitude, I'm not going to say that I'm grateful for something. And so, you know, what I'll choose to say on this life, I'll isolate, you know, my favorite person in the world. I'm married to my soulmate, my lover, my companion. Amy she legitimately is the yin to my yang. And I can't imagine having there be somebody that's more perfect for me than her. Everything that is my strength, she supports and uplifts. Everything that is my weakness is her strength. And she understands me in a way that allows me this freedom to just be myself that I didn't experience until I met her. And it's elevated in the last several years of things have gotten better and better with us.
I don't know if you see that right now.
Hey, well, not to be a cheesehead, but I really hope that those out there that are in relationships can find a way to experience even just a little bit of how that whole true love thing works. Cause it's real.
So powerful.
It is. It is really powerful. Like there's
for those that don't see the video, there is a couple of tears coming out of my eyes right now. Cause that was just a beautiful thing, man, to hear that.
She's worth it. She doesn't do any of the work for me, but she empowers me to do it. And I support and love her back in the same way and understand where her growth points are and how I can support her and help her to stretch her comfort zone and to expand. And it's one of the most beautiful testaments to monogamy that, you know, two people committed to each other in such a way can legitimately change the world. And we change ourselves, we change our family, we change our neighborhood. It's this whole process that you end up changing the world. And it starts with, you know, really having authentic, transparent, honest, loving relationships. And, you know, she's my favorite person in the world.
Man, that was powerful. And I love how it just ties back to relationships and that two people really can change the world. And when you're so open to creating that space with each other, it does filter into every other aspect of life. So it's not like, let me change my finances to make the relationship better. Let me change my body to change the, it's like, no, let me make the communication of the relationship better. And from that, everything else just flows. Yeah.
Well, let me add to that, Tom, that it is actually all of those things that, you know, things didn't get really good in my relationship with my wife until I started paying attention to those other areas. About a year ago, I really wanted to up my fitness game. And so I started working out here in Salt Lake at a facility that's run by a former Oakland Raider that he's a University of Utah football star. His name's John Madsen. And he trains D1 athletes and he's just got this little factory that just pumps out high level athletes. And I met him through a mutual friend. We started working together and I kind of felt out of place going in there somewhat because it was all these just 350-pound beasts that, you know, were running 4.640s and one of the guys plays for the Patriots now. I mean, he just churns out athletes.
Wow.
And But he convinced me of a different type of training. He said, you know, guy, I just turned 40 this summer. He's like, guys in your age, man, like you don't need to be doing cardio for years on end. You need to be lifting heavy stuff, you know, and kind of gotten this thing. And it's funny because in my relationship, it got really good. I won't give details, but it got really good as I started getting stronger and in shape. And something about the change in my, I don't know if it's pheromones or testosterone, whatever that was changing as my body got more and more shape and stronger, it made a big difference. And the irony is that by eliminating that piece now, like here's another kind of little tip that I've noticed about relationships. People get hung up on looks when it comes to relationships. And, you know, they think, oh, well, it's superficial to, you know, expect or want certain things, you know, out of my spouse. It's like, okay, well, I can see the reasoning behind that, but here's the reality that those things actually do matter. They're not the whole reason, but if you have a strong, passionate, healthy, committed relationship, and then you add in both of you being in really good shape, dude, it is a game changer. Boom. On every level. And so it's really kind of it's arrogant to think that stuff doesn't matter. So guys, if you're not getting laid as much as you want in your marriage, go get in shape and watch her change. Like that's literally what will happen. And it sounds crude and it sounds, you know, kind of just old school, but it's legit. I mean, women are just like men. They want to have, they want to be teased and have there be that sort of kind of excitement through that. And part of that is giving them something nice to look at. So go get in shape.
And get our lazy butts off the couch. Yeah. And stop watching Walking Dead and get our butts in the gym.
Or at least like have the audio of Walking Dead while you're lifting weights in the gym or whatever, you know, like, figure it out.
Yeah. Kind of fun. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. So guys, look, remove the noise, ask for support, and you just need to know that you're not alone, you know? And I love that the authentic, honest changing and using that in our relationship, you know, and it all just kind of ties back to this single hub. Beautiful, man. So thank you so much. Super inspired, man. You're doing a lot. And for everybody listening, if you guys missed it, please check out ApplyTheScience.com. You know, it's a new course, just came out.
Yeah, I actually haven't. It launches on December 1st. I'm only taking 10 people this first round, and we've got some spots left over still. So right now, I don't know if this when will this episode air?
So this will air, let me pull up my calendar. I got this right here. Hold on. So it's going to be on the 30th.
Of November?
Of November, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, then still go to Apply the Science, but just use this opportunity to go get the science of getting rich from my website, rulesofsuccess.com. By then it might be too late for the program, but you never know. Give it a shot. I'm still taking on new coaching clients as well. And so there, if something resonated with anybody that listens to this, let's have a conversation about it. See if we can work together.
Awesome. Thanks. Thank you so much, Bryce. I'm so inspired. I think this was a great chat. And guys, check them out. Check them out. rulesofsuccess.com. And hey, man. Been fun.
Tom's a superstar. Thanks, buddy.
Hey. And Bryce is as well. Take care, man. Talk to you soon. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests each and every Monday. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency and compassion and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. I would also love to hear from all of you, so please write to me, because every Sunday I'm going to share an inspiring story from one of the listeners, just like yourself. If you have a story where you exhibited compassion towards someone or you paid it forward, I'd love to hear about it. So thanks again. If you love the show, please head over to iTunes, leave a review. It means the world. Take care and talk to you next Monday.